previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
This time on the Stevies, we're celebrating best bands I claim I was in.
Blown Transformer. Bull Semen.
That's one of the worst bands I was ever in. I was in a band called Bull Semen.
Improved Thermal Conduction.
I was in a band called Improved Thermal Conduction.
Balls and Lack of Ethics.
It doesn't take talent to get a TV show. No. It takes balls and a lack of ethics.
Balls and a snake.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was the band you were in at one time.
It was. Yeah. It was also the morning show on B96 up until last year.
That's correct.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Chicago.
Yeah, it's Friday. Actually, a little bit warmer today than it was yesterday.
What?
Little bit. Okay, a degree, but hey, we'll take it. Dave Bennett's back. We missed you.
Hi, Dave.
Thank you. Hi, Nick. Yeah, no, I'm glad to be back. My car thermometer said -4 when I got on the road this morning, and by the time I got into the city, it was +3.
Oh,
so that's a 7-degree swing.
Well, yesterday it was -8 was the absolute low, and then this weekend it's going to be, well, with the wind chills, it was 30 below, and then this weekend we're going to hopefully get back into the mid-30s, so that'll be basically a 60-degree difference.
How about that?
Yeah, we're going to talk with Tim in just a few minutes, and he's going to give us a weekend weather update and tell us that about the record that we set yesterday. So I said, at least as long as we were freezing our you-know-what's off, at least we set a record doing it. We got a big show for you today. As we said, more Stevies. Adam Hogue's going to be with us. Chris Collins, Al Roker. Nick's excited. Marian Hosa is going to join us.
Yeah.
A little bit after 8 o'clock. So that's going to be awesome.
Big names.
Big names. I know. And a lot going on in the world as well. Steve Alexander's been following this story in business all week for Greece. For WGN. It's the Greek story. You know, and we're not just doing this because it's my people, my peeps. We want to find out what's going on in Greece and what's going to be happening next, specifically this weekend, as far as more talks. So we wanted Tom Rivers to join us from ABC News. Morning, Tom.
Good morning. Yeah, third important meeting this week in Brussels. Finance ministers trying to find compromise so far. Pretty elusive, but we'll see what comes out today.
Yeah, that's going to be huge. Now, tell us the significance of they had the first another round of tough negotiations over the bailout program, and Germany rejected a request for the extension that Greece had wanted. Are they going to extend another olive branch, or is this it? I mean, they made their offer, and Greece.
So I think you kind of invent it as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the 11th hour, and the ultimate deadline. Today's kind of a major deadline, but the deadline is really next week when the current bailout program ends, and then there's no more money left in the cookie jar. And that means how do you pay for the hospitals, for the public transportation workers, you name it, in Greece. So they don't want to get that far down the road, but at this stage, you're right. There is no agreement. Greece wants just an extension, a six-month extension, and they don't want to carry on with this bailout program. They're already in hock to the tune of $240 billion to Germany, but to the Eurozone countries. And they're saying, look, you know, we can't pay that back. Even though we're doing the austerity stuff, we're never going to get on top of it. Our kids can't pay it off. Our grandkids can't pay it off. We need a write-down. And Germany doesn't want that because the taxpayers there say, well, we could lose $80 billion and we could use that to fix bridges and build hospitals and all that good stuff. So
absolutely.
Turn around, exactly.
So can it be saved at this point? Or, I mean, explain why what happens there is so important for the world's economy.
Well, it's important because if Greece kind of hits the tilt button and says, hey, we don't want to play this game anymore, we're going to go bankrupt, just like people, families can go bankrupt, it will affect the entire Eurozone. And Spain and Portugal are watching as well, saying, you know, that might not be a bad idea. Let's do that, too. And what we're seeing then before our very eyes, the unraveling of the European Union's Eurozone. So we'll see what happens. Everything to play for. Very, very important indeed. Even countries that don't have the euro, like the UK, a lot of investment in British investment in Greece. And, of course, that will tank.
Mm-hmm.
The people that have been making money for years and years and years through loans and stuff are going to find out, guess what? We ain't going to get anything back on this investment, and that's going to affect the economy right here.
Can we compare this in any way to the U.S. bailout when we were starting to bail out some of our big companies, you know, the automakers?
You know, that's an interesting one. In a sense, the U.S. went along the way then of saying, okay, let's go on with the bailout, and there will somewhere down the road be a light at the end of the tunnel. Greece is saying we don't want to go down that road because we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel forever. So they're saying, no, I want to go bankrupt, or we want a six-month extension. We'll do what we can to kind of keep ourselves in check and kind of replenish the banks a little bit, and then we're going to say we're going to throw in the towel. So that is one scenario.
Well, a lot of scenarios on the table right now, so we'll be watching this throughout the day and throughout the weekend. Tom, thank you.
Take care.
You bet. That's ABC's Tom Rivers. Eurozone foreign ministers are going to meet again Friday afternoon. Wait and see pattern, Steve.
I love that olive branch. nice one.
We got to tie that back to the Greeks and mythology and the Greeks inventing everything. It's all about the Greeks.
I have a Greek friend. This is unbelievable to me. Mind blowing to me.
Oh yeah, it's
that
insane.
That he hates olives.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Euro.
No,
about the
I'm talking about my friend Anthony Turnis, who I co-wrote Black and Blue with.
Oh, I know his brother Jim.
You know Jim?
Yeah, he married my friend Beth.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Anthony doesn't like olives. What's wrong with doesn't shouldn't he be like kicked out?
I know. There's certain things. Olives, wine, and cheese are the big.
Yeah, if you don't like olives, you can't be Greek. I think legally you can't be Greek.
No, we have to take in his Greek card.
My God.
Is it feta or feta?
It's feta.
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 Feta. Yeah, don't say feta.
Yeah, Andrea says it right.
You feta. Have to get the hard feta.
And
there.
Pita.
What?
Pita bread?
Pita bread instead
make
of pita.
Make up your mind. Pita?
Instead of eat a pita? We'll do our Greek 101 coming up. First, let's get a check of complete traffic. Here is Mary. Take it. 527-20 WGN. Yeah, we're out of the deep freeze, thankfully. We set a record yesterday. Tim, what was it, -8, which was the lowest yesterday for the regular temp?
Yeah, that was the new record low for yesterday set at O'Hare. That went back almost 80 years, and we had a record cold high temperature. We only made it up to 4 yesterday. That also broke a record that went back 79 years.
Well, at least, like I said, at least we set a record as we were freezing everything off.
Yeah, if you're going to be cold, why not break records, right?
Exactly. So we're going to be better this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to be better this weekend. It's still pretty bad. We still have a wind chill advisory until 6 o'clock this morning. The big difference this morning is the winds are a little bit lighter, so the wind chill is not quite as brutal, but we're still seeing wind chills down to almost 20 below. And I found the coldest spot across the area at Wadsworth. That's up in northern Lake County, just outside of north and west of Six Flags, to give you your bearings.
Right.
14 below right now in Wadsworth. So it's still pretty brutal. O'Hare is 6 below, and that's 3 degrees shy of the record. We'll get close to that today. And, yeah, we do break out of this over the weekend. However, Arctic air is back. It looks like Sunday we'll see falling temperatures. We'll start off near 20, drop into the single digits. And by Monday morning, could be looking at more records around here. Yeah, we're looking for a low Monday morning around 7-8 below zero. So the record low high for Monday, I think, is 8, and we're going to come close to that for a high temperature on Monday. So we're not over with this bitter cold, unfortunately, not yet.
How about snow?
A little bit of snow coming later on today and a little bit of snow tomorrow. Doesn't look like much, maybe a half inch to an inch. But I want to talk about ice real quickly here because I thought this was interesting. Second greatest Great Lakes ice cover we've seen since 1996. 85.4% of the Great Lakes is covered with ice. The record was last year, 92.5%. So it'll probably climb into the high 80s. 85% of the Great Lakes covered with ice. And what's interesting, in a 24-hour period earlier this week, almost 5,000 square miles of ice formed in just 24 hours.
You know,
that's how cold it is.
Here's what's weird. Well, not weird because it's expected, too. The snow that we had last week, it's pretty much melted except for like in the medians or if you're on the side streets of Chicago, you know, there's still a little bit surrounding some of the cars that haven't been moved. But it's formed like these solid ice mountains, if you will, you know. So and also too along the lake where the sand is kind of there's like these ice caves.
Right. We were fortunate with some of these more recent winters when we've had the snow, we've had warm weather, and we've melted it. Remember those winters back in the late 70s where, especially the 78, 79, we got the snow and then the bitter cold. And so you're right, you got these just mounds of ice and snow that never went anywhere. That's what made it so frustrating. But we're seeing a little bit of that this winter because we've got the bitter cold around. And we're going to have it again today, at least this morning. Wind chill advisory is in effect until 6. We'll see highs today get up to around 19 degrees. I think we're going to cloud over some morning sunshine. And again, about a half inch inch to an inch of accumulation coming later today into tonight. Shouldn't be a big deal. Tonight, light snow early, then cloudy, blustery, and cold down to around 15. Saturday, a little light snow mainly early. Right now, it looks like the main brunt of this system would stay south of us, but we could get a maybe clip with a half inch to an inch in total. So if you add it all up between today and tomorrow, there could be a few spots south of the city that end up getting 2 or 3 inches. Most of us probably around an inch, inch and a half or so. So light snow early tomorrow, a high of 30. And then the bitter cold is back Sunday. We'll start off at midnight around 18. We'll fall to about 8 later in the day. Partly sunny, getting blustery. Could see some Indiana Lake effect snow Sunday. Monday, mostly sunny. Morning lows around 7 or 8 below. A high Monday of just 9. Probably see some more wind chill advisories Monday morning. Tuesday, mostly cloudy. A chance of snow in 24. Trying to count up my head here. I think today's the 9th straight day below average. So if you include the weekend and early next week, that streak's going to stretch to at least 12 or 13 days.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on. As long as we're in record territory now, bring it on, baby.
It's awful.
By the way, Andrea didn't want to say anything about the winters of the 70s because she wasn't born yet.
Oh, that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was going 70s. Yeah.
Forgot you're in your 20s.
Right. Thank you, Tim.
Sure.
I'll ask you next week for the temperature in Fort Myers, not to...
They had wind chill advisors all the way down in Miami this morning.
Oh, and Fort Myers, Mary's going to be down there too. So
we're
not alone. I hate people like that. Oh, it's 80 in Florida. Thank you, Tim.
Sure.
All right, have a good one. Stay warm. 5:24. Time for a first look at business. Steve Alexander.
Hello.
Let's get after it. Here's Nick now with your Oscar predictions for the weekend, starting with Best Supporting Actress.
Best Supporting Actress. The nominees are Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep for Into the Woods.
It's not Meryl Streep. She can't win anymore. She's at the legal limit. The Fish and Game wardens have told her no more.
She shouldn't have been nominated.
If she gets another one, she has to throw it back. The winner is?
Patricia Arquette for Boyhood.
I agree. Anyone disagree with Patricia Arquette?
Nope, she's got it.
All right, that's our pick, Patricia Arquette. Best Supporting Actor.
You know what? There shouldn't even be 5 nominees. There should just be 1, and his name is J.K. Simmons.
I totally agree.
But the nominees are Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash.
And, Gene Hackman's name came up in your show at some point this morning. I don't remember what it was for. And Gene Hackman and Duvall are about the same age.
Yeah.
And yet Hackman's not making movies anymore.
No. It's too bad.
Is there a health issue?
No, I think he just dropped out.
Because Duvall's still good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the movie wasn't good. He's good in it. The Judge was not a good movie. But Duvall is Duvall. I mean, he's phenomenal. And in fact, all of these performances, Mark Ruffalo is phenomenal in Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
But J.K. Simmons blows them all out of the water. I don't even think there's a competition.
How about Steve Carell does the greatest dramatic role he'll ever have, and it's in a year where he's got no chance to win.
Exactly.
So congratulations to J.K. Simmons. Best actress.
Best actress. Marion Cotillard for, it's easy for me to say, mm-hmm. 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, and Reese Witherspoon for Wild.
I'm predicting an upset in this category, but you go.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. Anyone not think it's Julianne Moore?
I don't.
Andrea?
I think she's unfortunately going to win, but I like Felicity Jones in The Theory of Everything.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with Julianne Moore just because I think she's going to win.
Dave, you look like you've got a different
And she
case.
Should win.
I like Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon was great in Wild. It's one of her best performances ever.
I'm still trying to figure out why I'm supposed to like her in that movie, though.
I don't think you are. You know what I mean? I think it's about this deeply screwed up, flawed person going through the change, and I don't necessarily think that you're supposed to really like her.
Did you like her performance?
Mm.
You don't have to like her, but did you like her acting ability?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, not so much.
I liked her better in Friends.
but
when she played Rachel's sister.
Yeah.
She was great in that.
But as far as Still Alice goes, the movie that Julianne Moore is
it's not a great movie.
It's not, but she's great in it.
Yeah.
And it's a stunning, stunning fact that she's never won an Academy Award, which is just ridiculous.
The upset I'm predicting is that Julianne Moore will win and Andre will be upset on Monday.
That's the upset. I got
it. I'm preparing myself for
That's
it.
That's the upset I'm predicting.
Fine.
Best actor.
Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton for Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
This is a three-way race
this
now.
This is hard.
It's a two-way race, I think.
I think there could be a split vote here. Who you got?
Unfortunately, I'm picking Eddie Redmayne to win.
Mary?
I'm going with Eddie Redmayne, too.
David?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I'm going Keaton.
I hope you're right.
I'm going Keaton. I saw Keaton at the ball guys meeting, and I really want him to win.
Somebody should pick the Cumberbatch.
No, Cumberbatch won't win.
No, he won't.
He was great, though.
I think Bradley Cooper could win on a split vote.
No.
I think he might.
He's got all the buzz.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
true. But the thing is, Michael Keaton should win it, and before The Theory of Everything came out, he was a lock. Like, everybody was like, forget it. Give it to him now. But then The Theory of Everything comes out, and which is also not a very good movie. But Eddie Redmayne is great in it, and it is exactly the kind of performance that wins Academy Awards.
Right. And here's the dirty little truth about the Oscar voters. It wins Academy Awards for people that don't see the movie because they hear how great it is. They literally don't pop the screener in to watch it, and they vote for him anyway.
How many voters do you think saw Still Alice?
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that's Julie
the other Carlin. Baldwin brothers.
Yeah, they got nothing else to do.
There's Alex in it.
I think Eddie Redmayne, too.
Alec makes all the brothers watch all of his stuff. You like Eddie Redmayne?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with him, too.
Kevin, you agree with all these picks so far?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How about you, Ross?
He's nodding.
Okay.
I don't think they're listening.
Ross, the only theater major on the show, and he couldn't care less. Best picture.
Nominees are, and this is always weird for me now, over the past few years, that
with
they've
47
made like 10
nominees.
And 9 and all that stuff, and then they only nominate 5 directors, which of course doesn't make any
sense.
And one of the directors, by the way, that got nominated, directed a movie that's not nominated for Best Picture this year.
He got nominated? The film was nominated?
No, the film was not
nominated. Oh, he was nominated, but the film wasn't?
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Okay, so American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
All right, now I'm going to say something about the Grand Budapest Hotel. It's overrated. Having said that, it's an entertaining movie and very creative.
Absolutely. I'm stunned, by the way, of all the awards love it's got.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan, and I had a great time watching that movie, but I had no idea it was going to get like 11 Oscar nominations.
No, and the thing is, this is the template. He's done this movie many, many times before, and for whatever reason, a lot of America is going, isn't this cute? I've never seen this.
I know, he's made like 12 of these.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go into a Wes Anderson movie, you know exactly what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I happen to love Wes Anderson movies, and I am profoundly
If you like seeing movies shot in a hallway with occasional characters that look like live puppets, then you're going to love it.
That are perfectly framed in the middle.
Yeah.
Like everything, he's just this obsession with putting everything in the middle of the frame.
Yeah.
But I think he's a terrific filmmaker. I'm just really shocked by all the love it's gotten from critics groups and
totally agree.
And stuff. Yeah.
Totally agree. So I hope it doesn't win. Best picture, your choice.
Boyhood.
Mary.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Boyhood, too. It's the only one I've seen.
Steve? Steve, you've
Boyhood.
Seen all of them, haven't you?
Except Selma.
But, okay.
Yeah, Boyhood, probably.
Boyhood?
I'm going to go... Jeez, I've seen all of them. Except
Star Wars
Selma,
Next Generation?
Watch. No. Oh. I actually was going to say American Sniper just because of all the hype that it's getting right now, but I'm going to go Boyhood as well.
I'm going to go Boyhood because the director agreed to be on the show with us. He's a good guest.
I've got him for best director as well.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, I'll go Boyhood.
Kevin?
Yeah, sure. Boyhood. Actually, the only one I've seen is American Sniper, so I'll go with that.
All right. Does Ross still not care?
He's. I can't see him because that thing's in the way.
He's reading a theater book.
Okay.
I would like to say that of the movies that are nominated in this category, my favorite and the one that I would give it to is Whiplash.
Oh, I agree. Whiplash, terrific film.
Yeah, and then followed by Bird.
It doesn't have a chance to win.
No. J.K. Simmons is going to get it. And Whiplash might win editing. But normally, you know, this is a rule of thumb. If you guys are doing, a full ballot for your Oscar party and you have to do all of the categories, here's a rule of thumb. If you've got to pick best editing, always go with the longest movie. Always go to the longest movie.
Right, because it's got the most editing?
It's got the most. The editor had to deal with the most footage. It was a harder job. And I don't know if it's a perfect, I don't know if that's happened in every case, but I would say 90% of the time, best editing goes to the longest movie. And in that case, it would be Boyhood.
Well, since it was 15 years, that is pretty long.
Yeah.
That's great advice, because I fill out an Oscar ballot.
Always pick the longest movie. I mean, it's not in stone. But if you're conffused about it,
so all right. One more question: what about cinematography?
Let me see,
because that's always another one where I'm thinking. I know what it is, but
it's cameraman.
Okay, yeah. It's Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken. Let me put it to you this way: Birdman deserves it, but Emmanuel Lubezki won last year for Gravity. So keep that in the back of your head, because he won last year, and I don't think they're going to give it to him two years in a row. But
I would say Unbroken's got a shot there.
Unbroken's Roger Deakins. I mean, he's one of the greatest cinematographers alive. Yeah. I've got Grand Budapest Hotel winning that.
You'll be back on Monday.
No, I won't. I'm taking Monday morning off, because I'm going to an Oscar party Sunday night.
You'll be back on Tuesday.
I'll be back Tuesday morning, and I'll wrap it up.
Stick around.
I'll wrap it up.
On Tuesday.
Oh, stick around on Tuesday?
Yeah.
We'll do.
So we can, agree with,
So and we can look at the picks.
Do our final prediction or our final results.
All right, cool.
You know who I am?
Yes, sir.
So you know I'm looking for players?
Yes, sir.
Then why did you stop playing?
Caught the end of that. Was that a little whiplash there you played for us?
It was.
Yeah.
It was J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons is great. As I've said many times, I'll watch him do a Farmers Insurance commercial. That's how good he is.
He should win an Oscar for the Farmers Insurance.
Tremendous.
Commercial. Yeah.
Tremendous.
Do you remember him in, it's not a good movie, it's the Coen Brothers remake of Lady Killers?
I do not.
He is hilarious in that movie. He's so good. And in the Spider-Man movies as the boss.
How about as the dad in Juno?
Yeah. He's just great. The guy's
just
great
in everything.
He's great. Great.
I saw him at the bald guy meeting, too. Jones been very patient, holding on forever. Jones, since I kept you on hold so long, you win everything on the prize list.
Oh, you know what? I was just thinking, gee, did I pick the short straw this morning? But that's okay. I listen to you guys every morning, and I had a day off yesterday because they closed the school, so I'm all refreshed and ready to go. So,
what do you do at school?
I'm a crossing guard.
And you get any lip from any of the parents who try to get in there quick because their time's more important than others?
No, I have to say my parents and everybody is great. It's the drivers on Milwaukee Avenue. I mean, I got a stop sign. I might as well be holding up a lollipop.
Hey, Milwaukee Avenue. Milwaukee Avenue, pay attention to Joan this morning for crying out loud.
Yes. Please do. Yeah, that's they just don't want to stop, Steve. I mean, they just hooray for me and the hell with you. That's their attitude.
Isn't it amazing how everybody's time is more important?
Oh, I tell you, and I love my kids, the parents, the grandparents even, because I've been on so long and I'm finally hanging it up in June. So I'm really going to miss the kids. So that's my biggest. I'm already thinking about it.
Well, I'll make you tear up, won't it?
Definitely.
Thank you for your service to the community. Don't get hit by any of these idiots.
And, oh, God. I hope not.
And be safe out there. And we have for you, got a one-night stay at a Red Roof Inn. We got a $25 gift card to Walk and Fire. We got a voucher for donuts. We got Lou Malnati's Pizza. And we have a Chevy Drive Chicago.com, WGN Radio, stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee. All for you. Everything on the prize list this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, and tell your parents they have to listen or you're going to put their kids on detention.
Oh, the parents are great. They would even help me, I tell you.
All right.
So thanks very much.
Have a great weekend, Joan. All right, hold on. Sorry about keeping you on hold so long. Thought Joan was going to break bad on us, but she's very nice.
She was very sweet.
Yeah, she's very nice.
Instead of holding up a stop sign, she should hold up a picture of your head.
That'd be a great idea. It'd be a good promotion for the show.
720 WGN.
That would be like a shield, though, right?
Can you imagine being the crossing guard at school with everybody running late and everybody's got their own agenda?
Especially in this kind of weather.
I had a crossing guard snap on me when Ross was about 5 or 6 years old.
What'd you do?
I didn't do anything. She had the sign, and she was sort of half holding it up. Ross, you remember when the crossing guard went nuts and dropped the F-bomb? No? Okay. Obviously, he was traumatized by it.
But or he has a different account of the story.
I dropped Ross and his friends off at school. Or actually, they were still in the car, and I didn't know if the woman wanted me to turn or not because the sign was kind of hanging half down, and she was talking to somebody. And I went and turned, and it was like I was the last straw for her. And she yells in front of a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds, "Who the F do you think you are?"
You don't remember that, Ross? That
I said, "Well, I'm Steve Cochran. How are you?"
Are you saying she wasn't happy to be here?
She was not happy to be there.
You should have said, "I'm effing Steve Cochran."
Well, I actually went in, and she no longer was the crossing guard because I thought maybe she needed some time for herself. A minute before 6, we'll come back and get you the next hour of the program and a big day with more Stevie Awards ahead and Marian Hossa later in the program at 720 WGN.
Well, I don't think there's any question, you know, that there's ability and talent there, but there's a lot more that goes into it, and we're evaluating that as we speak.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
We did a talk show host combine this week as well. Didn't get quite as much press, but the measurables were tough. It was like, you know, who can do the shortest question and the longest answer, who can get into the news on time. You know, the stuff, Dave, that really are the intangibles.
You didn't have to do like the run a 40 or anything.
No.
Did you have to talk a 40?
No, we had an intern carry us 40 yards, you know, because we're all pampered, as you know.
Sure.
Adam Hogue is standing by. He's actually been at the combine this week. And John Fox, the head coach of your Chicago Bears, took some national heat, but I don't think people understand the local landscape for what he said about Cutler this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, because I think it was sort of nationally taken as a shot at Jay Cutler. I was sitting there. I didn't necessarily think it was a shot.
Not
I just
at
think
all.
It was a head coach and a general manager taking a stance that needed to be taken with both a quarterback and wide receiver who I don't know if enable is the right word, but just maybe put on a pedestal a little bit too much the last couple of years under the previous regime. And so I think it's smart for, in both cases, to if you're going to maximize any possible options you might have to trade one or the other player, and I'm talking about Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, there's no point in coming out and giving either support. I think it was a very loud declaration that, hey, these two guys are available to the rest of the NFL if you're interested.
Yeah, and a shot would have been, look, Jay's been a huge disappointment, and he's got to earn his job. He didn't say anything close to that.
Right, a shot would have been benching him in week 16 randomly, sort of out of the blue, which already happened.
Right.
And again, I think Jay has made it – he made it clear with his play last year – that he's deserves this, you know. So it's not like they had to come out and say, "Hey, look, well, we didn't really like how he played last year." The rest of the league knows that. Everyone saw the tape. Everyone's seen the tape now for 9 years, so that's already out on the table. I didn't really see what they had to gain by coming out and giving him a vote of confidence or anything.
Dave, do you think Cutler's back?
I mean,
there appears to be a trade market now for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly less of a validation or an endorsement than I expected to hear. I mean, and it was actually Adam in a way, because we talked the other morning, we didn't exactly know what we would hear from the Bears regarding, figured it would be somewhat noncommittal, and I guess that's what it was. I still think he'll be back, but I think he'll be on a very short leash, I guess would be the way to put it.
Yeah, I think chances are he's back. I think it's you have to bring in competition for him. But that's the hard part here. The quarterback market here for free agents and draft picks, it's so weak. But at the same time, that might be the only thing giving Jay any kind of a trade market right now. Because some team out there might be desperate enough to take on that salary and actually give up a decent draft pick for him. I'm not sure in other years that would be the case right now with what he's owed. So that is both, I think, working for and against the Bears. But, hey, if someone comes out and is willing to give you, I mean, I don't know if someone's going to give up a first-round pick, but if that were ever mentioned in any kind of trade talks, even though I think it would put the Bears in a tough position for next year at the quarterback spot, I think you take it because the mindset for this team right now I think has to be more long-term than just next year.
Obviously, the Bears don't have the greatest amount of flexibility as far as the salary cap. We're about, what, 3 weeks or so away from free agency? Are you hearing that the Bears are going to be at least a little bit active when the free agency period begins?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I mean, they actually have about $24 million in cap space, which I believe is somewhere around 10th most in the NFL. So unlike last year when they were right up against the cap and they had to do some maneuvering and really get creative with contracts like Jay Cutler's just to create enough space to add guys like Lamar Houston and Jared Allen, it's wide open this year. They have more flexibility. But I'm not sure that's the right timing for that. I don't know that these guys want to add a whole bunch of free agents and go for this thing next year. I think they'd much rather build through the draft. So I don't know how much of that space they're going to actually use. I'm sure there's going to be a signing here or there. There has to be at least a ton of smaller signings because if you're switching to a 3-4 defense, you have to find the personnel to do that. But it will be interesting to see how much cap space they actually eat up here because they have a lot, but I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of sense to spend all that money.
This year we had an NFC story, an NFL story, of a team with a gunslinger quarterback that was known for making bad decisions and a talented running back that was featured more in the offense and then became the primary feature of the offense, and the Dallas Cowboys made a deep run in the playoffs. Can't we do that with a smaller back who happens to be really talented with the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I think that, if you can create an offense and a system that limits the amount of mistakes that Jay Cutler might make, if you can kind of rein him in, and that's what the Cowboys did last year. They went to more of a run-first offense. They took the pressure off of Tony Romo, and it worked. And I think that, you know, that's sort of what is going to be the ideal focus, not just for the Bears, but for a lot of teams next year to see what – and what was funny about that was it was so simple.
Right.
For the Cowboys. It wasn't some kind of revolutionary idea. It was really actually more of an old school philosophy.
Well, and they were surprised at how well it worked. I mean, it wasn't so good in the beginning. They kept going to it. So,
well, and these are the way trends work in the NFL and in football because everyone tries to get so creative and spread it out, and then all of a sudden, you know, one team realizes, if we go back the other way, this is going to work. And that's why it always changes. It always goes back and forth. Happens at the college level, too. And everyone thinks they have the next great idea, and then someone realizes, if we just go back to doing the simple thing, that works, too. So I think that's going to be sort of the trend this year, not just with the Bears, but with a lot of teams.
Go to WGN Plus. You can read Adam Hoge, and you can keep in touch with what he's up to. Thanks for the information, and if anything breaks this morning, call us back.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Steve Cochran, continue. The show continues. I continue. We continue. Steve Cochran continued. Stevie Awards coming up. A couple of words about Pete McMurray this morning later. Andrea's filling in for Lou tomorrow. Who are your guests?
We're going to have Mike and Jim on, Mike Holmes and Jim from Creative Consulting.
Okay.
So, yeah, we've worked together several times in the past, and they're great. You know, they're Lou's friends, trusted contractors.
Well, you know a lot of stuff from doing the show.
Yeah, we started the show in 2006, and I remember it was at one of your golf outings. Lou said, I'm putting this concept together, this idea for a TV show called House Smarts. He said, I want you to help out with it. And I said, well, I don't really know a lot. He said, you can learn.
Right.
And it's good, you know. And it's really geared, it's geared toward women in a lot of ways, too, because, you know, guys are typically known as the ones to do the home improvement projects, but women can do it, too. So we make it easy. We have a lot of DIY segments and projects, and we do a lot of great interviews. So, and now we're in our, I think this is our...
Ninth year?
It's our ninth year filming, but I think because of how TV goes, I think it's considered the seventh season.
Seven seasons.
Yeah.
Well, good for Lou.
It's a great show. Great
so that's concept. Tomorrow. Right now at 312-981-7200, we don't have a first question for Lou, but you can we ask Andre a question, really about anything. Life, funny. Love, finance,
Well, it can't be too
foreign policy. Sports.
My thoughts on foreign policy.
Yeah, whatever. Number to call is 312-981-7200. We have prizes to give away. Are we giving away the Wi-Fi thermostat thing today?
We weren't planning on it, but we can.
Well, it's up to you. You're the producer, dude.
Sure, let's give one away.
All right. I don't have the sheet on it, but
I'll
we can fake it.
I'll print the sheet for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
those are great, by the way.
312-981-7200. Ask Andrea anything, and you could be a big winner.
Well, not anything.
No, anything.
Well, if they ask me how to, you know,
boxers
Japanese,
or briefs.
Well, yeah, and I can't answer that.
Boxers or briefs?
I can't speak Japanese either, or Chinese. Speak a little Greek.
While we set up a phone call here, a couple of words about Pete McMurray. Tonight's Pete's last show here. Was it last night?
We have a Blackhawks game tonight.
Well, good luck, Pete. We're pulling for you.
Yeah, his last show was last night.
It went great, by the way.
Was it last night?
I don't know, but
yep,
when we walked in today, did you smell all the food?
No.
Nick said they had a buffet, just a smorgasbord.
Well, what are we going to do, fire him? Pete McMurray is going to do the morning show on The Drive. We wish him luck. Of course, we're going to kick his butt here, but it's going to be fun competing against him. And he's a great guy, and he's the little brother I never wanted. And we'll miss him. So good luck to Pete.
We will miss him. We love Pete.
Won't we see him at the Air Climb?
No, he's not welcome. No.
Isn't he still doing that, Dave?
I don't know.
Climbing all the stairs?
I have not been told that.
If not, we have to take all his team players.
We're taking his people.
Yeah, yeah. He's persona non grata enemy number one now. Oh. No, he's welcome. No, of course, we'll see him there. Yeah, okay. Absolutely see him there. But good luck to Pete. And if you see Pete around town, give him a hug and ask him what he was thinking.
Or trip him as he goes up the stairs next week.
Right. All right, so let's go with the questions that we see here. One is a ceiling fan question. The other is, do you believe in the death penalty?
Oh, jeez. I can't answer that. There's a moratorium on the death penalty in Illinois. How about that?
Let's see. And the winner, I'll choose this in a second, gets a White Rogers Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat monitor and control your home's temperature from your smartphone anywhere in the world. American Weathermakers recognizes the experts in heating and cooling for 65 years. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. There's a question about plastic tile in the bathroom.
I could do a ceiling fan question.
Ceiling fans? Let's go to
ceiling
fans.
Yeah, we've done segments on those.
All right, Bill, what's your ceiling fan question for Andrea?
Yeah, I was wondering if it's worth leaving them on in the wintertime.
Yeah, it is. And you know what you should do? This is very.
Do you really know the answer
to this? I really do. Yeah, we did a piece on this. You put it in reverse. So normally your ceiling fan would run clockwise. Run it the other way. Yeah.
Recirculating
it, yep.
Why do you do that?
It keeps the air. It just keeps everything warm. Why do you laugh? Do I laugh when you do your little sports segments? Really? Oh, okay. Do I laugh when you call your...
What a great little pat on the head that was.
When you call your Northwestern games and you go, oh, the guy made a basket. Ooh, he shot a hoop.
Hey, Bill, congratulations. You've won the American Weathermakers thermostat, the Wi-Fi... Sensi Wi-Fi thermostat. Hold the line, buddy.
Thank you, Bill. What a great question.
Well, we have one more.
Even though it was sabotaged.
No, we have one more.
Was it sabotaged?
Let's go to line,
let's go to line four here.
Stan, what's your question for Andrea?
Andrea, in 50 Shades of Grey, what was the first item used to slap the young lady in her palm?
Stan, I have not yet seen the movie, but having read the book many years ago, I would think, was it a whip?
You are wrong.
Was it a tie?
You are also wrong.
Was it a handcuff?
No.
Was it a belt?
No, come on.
Was it pasta?
Now you're getting close.
It was food?
No, it wasn't food. It was a riding crop.
It was a riding crop.
Well, it's kind of like a whip.
That was going to be my next guess.
Hey, Stan, I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Why'd you go to see 50 Shades of Grey?
It just happens to be something some of the people I know are into, so what can I tell you?
Yeah, good for you, buddy. Good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Yeah, someone else bought tickets to go see you too, David.
Hold the line. Let's give Stan fur-covered handcuffs, if we have any of those left. It's 6:29. Your news next, and the big story coming up on 720 WGN. Well, it's our final day of the Stevies. Oh, the reviews have been coming in, and they've been tremendous.
They really have.
Rick Kogan writes, thanks for not asking me to do this.
Oh, he's wanted to be a presenter?
I'm not sure. I don't know what to make of that review.
Hey, question. question.
Irv Cupson, it writes, I'm dead, don't call me. You got a question?
Yes. Do the presenters and the nominees get Stevie swag bags?
Yes. Yes. And the swag bag includes a MyPillow and a pound of bacon chosen by Kevin from your local Jewel Osco store. And what else is in the swag bag? We got a Lou Malnati's card. And so far, the only presenter's been Anna, so you're getting a lot of these.
But I was
I can't wait. Do I have to pay taxes on all the things I get in the swag bag?
Oh, another review just came in. Mike Reiko writes, if I was there, I'd punch you right in the face.
Oh,
yeah. We can let everyone pick one thing from the swag bin, from the swag bin.
We can fill the bags with the swag bin, all the crap we couldn't give away.
Exactly. I got the Hooters gift card I can put in there.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes.
Those are reserved for birthdays, Mary.
Oh, sorry.
Wouldn't it be great to walk into a Hooters to pick up some wings, and there's Anna with barbecue sauce all over her face sitting by herself with a big stein of beer?
We're going to go.
That would be very weird.
The girls on the show are going to
probably never happen.
No, I don't think that happening. It's time now for the next Stevie Award. We have several this morning. And what category is this?
This is the Stevie Award for most work done for the kids.
Oh, work done for the kids. Oh, this is a good one.
Yes.
And the nominees are?
The nominees for the Stevie Award for most work done for the kids are Rahm Emanuel.
I want my children to feel as passionate about the city as I did.
Okay, or?
Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
You cannot balance the state's budget on the backs of the children of the city of Chicago.
Or?
His Honor, Rahm Emanuel.
I believe that too many kids in the city of Chicago are having their childhood taken from them.
Or?
Rahm Emanuel.
Every child in the city of Chicago deserves a childhood. And that childhood cannot be stolen from them.
Can you open it already?
And the winner is... I did not see this coming.
Oh.
Rahm Emanuel, congratulations. Kevin, I'm no expert, but I believe that's Mayor Emanuel's fourth win of the week.
He's the Meryl Streep of the Stevies.
He really is. Yeah. That is phenomenal. Good for him. Hey, speaking of swag bags, Mary, you're going to take care of the traffic. And coming up before the show's over, the Oscar swag bag. You know what it's worth this year?
Oh, man. It's a lot.
How much?
$500,000. It's not $500,000. No, just kidding. $2,000.
$2,000, a little low. $125,000.
Wow.
Every nominee gets a bag worth $125,000.
That was close.
The traffic trouble spots. What do you have?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight? What do you want to do?
Voluminous. That's what I was looking for. Thank you, Texter. Voluminous. What do you want to do? It's a question that comes up every Friday. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? We need to get something to eat. I don't know. What do you want to eat? How come you never know what you want to do? I don't know. Every couple has this fight. Everyone. What do you want to do? I don't know. You want to stay home? I don't know. You want to go out? I don't know. What do you say when David says, what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
Yeah, that's exactly right. How about jumping boxer way to a healthy heart at POW! Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness Health Fair. You can join fitness and self-defense expert Catalin Rodriguez Ogren to help the American Heart Association knock out heart disease this Sunday. Every year, about 600,000 people succumb to heart disease in the United States. That's one in every four deaths that occur from heart disease. And POW, MMA, and Fitness will host a fundraising event and health fair Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a jump rope for heart health from 11 to noon. And participants can then join a knockout heart disease boxing class from 12:15 to 1. And Caitlin's one of the best. It's Sunday from 11 to 1 at 950 West Washington in downtown Chicago. At POW Martial Arts and Fitness, Been in the West Loop since 2001. It's only $25 per person. And 100% of the proceeds go to the American Art Association. And all you need to do is show up. So hopefully you'll get there. Can we put that on the web, too? Because that's a good event.
Absolutely.
We'll put it on the web. We'll put it on Facebook. And you can follow me on Facebook. You can like me. I'm Needy on Facebook. You can like the Steve Cochran Show. Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. And you can also follow us on Twitter, at Cochran Show. Item number two on What Do You Want to Do? Let's go to my daughter, Amy Cochran. Good morning, Amy Cochran.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you, kid?
I'm good. How are all my WGN morning friends doing today?
Oh, I don't know. Let's ask him. How are all your? How are all Amy's friends?
Amy, good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Andrea's been a little crabby, though.
Oh, I have not, Amy. Don't
well, with
to
Dave.
Amy.
There's kind of been a fight today, Amy. So,
naturally.
Is that anything new, though?
Boy, good point. It's sad that she knows us so
very
well.
Good point. Yeah. Very good point.
If it's scary she knows us so well.
The governor's budget address came out this week, and I shared a concern I have with everybody that we're going to have less funding for mental health and special needs considerations. If you listen to the show with regularity, you know that Amy works with kids with autism. And what's the name of your company?
Autism Home Support Services.
And the good news is they do great work in homes all the time, and you actually have a job fair, right?
We do. We have one coming up Saturday, March 7th, so that could be something people do on that Saturday.
That's exactly right. So what do you want to do? You want to make a note of the job fair right now. All right, it's a week from, is it 2 weeks from tomorrow?
2 weeks from tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. 2 weeks from, well, we should probably have you back next week to remind people, but 2 weeks from tomorrow. And what do we need to know?
It's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Northwestern University. It's in the Alice Miller Chapel.
Does that sound right? Northwestern, Alice Miller Chapel?
Alice Millar, yeah.
Alice Millar, okay.
Beautiful
okay,
chapel.
Okay, that's why I deferred to my Northwestern friends.
There you go.
It's in their Parks Hall room, 122.
Okay.
You
need a resume? What do you need to bring?
You know, yes. I mean, it's more so just a chance for you to meet some current employees, ask your questions. You can apply online. You can also register for the event or register to attend. You can go to our website at autismhomesupport.com.
Okay.
And we're particularly looking to recruit people from from the northern part of the city, so Evanston, Lincolnwood, Norridge, Park Ridge, Skokie.
Sure, sure. People that geographically could help kids in that area in particular.
Correct, but we're always looking for great people who are passionate about working with kids, in particular kids with autism. So. Anyone is welcome, but that is particularly where we're looking to recruit for.
Are you taking questions? Because Andrea has a question.
I have a resume question, Amy. This is a crazy question, but people who are going to hear this and are going to want to go, do they still bring a bunch of resumes, or do they bring, CDs or DVDs with their resumes on there?
That's a good question. Do you bring a paper resume? What do you bring?
I don't think there's really a wrong answer. I mean...
So either, maybe.
I remember, people that were always creative kind of got the most attention.
Oh, there you go.
That's a very good point.
Makes sense, yeah.
But you do apply for positions online, so you could do both, or they really get your name out there. So.
Yeah. So apply online, bring a resume, and bring donuts.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to bring donuts. It's Autism Home Support, and tell everybody what your company does.
We provide in-home. Evidence-based ABA therapy, applied behavior analysis therapy to students with autism and their families.
So one-on-one stuff.
Yes, we work with kids of all ages, and the company does a really good job with finding kids close to you, finding clients that you're comfortable with, providing in-home or providing training, whether you have some experience or a lot of experience. So.
And a lot of, and it seems like most of this is covered by health insurance, right, for the families?
Most of it, yes.
Yeah. All right. And your name is?
Amy Cochran.
Well, nice to meet you. You sound terrific. And thanks for being on the program. And one more time, what is the website for this job fair on March 7th?
AutismHomeSupport.com.
All right. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, guys. Have a fun morning and a great weekend.
All right, kid. Have a great day.
I am.
All right.
Bye.
Love you. See you. Bye. That's Amy Cochran. Unlike Ross Cochran, she actually cares about the rest of the people on the show.
So nice.
Did you notice how she asked how you guys were all doing?
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Very sweet.
When was the last time Ross asked you guys how you're doing? Let me check it. Kevin, does Ross care how anyone on the show is doing?
Not at all. But he does get his coffee once in a while.
Yeah. I guess if you guys want coffee, I shouldn't be mocking him.
The trooper in that department.
And he's happy to be here all the time.
Ross, are you happy to be here? He's nodding his head.
Yeah. He's thrilled.
Yeah.
Okay. He's talking to his sister on the phone.
All right, there you go. It says 7:57. More to come. 7:20. WGN.
Three straight on. Goal! Panthers no good. Ball game over, and the Wildcats win.
Jets back from Minnesota, all for sure. Dave Edit and the Northwestern Wildcats. Nice win, Dave. Nice win.
That was a great win for them.
Yeah.
At Williams Arena, at the Barn, one of the legendary venues in all of college athletics.
Sure. Coach Chris Collins joins us now. Coach, after a tough stretch, you know, where you lose a bunch of games in a row, what do you say to the youngsters to get them back on track in these last two games?
Well, you know, we had a really tough game last week against Michigan State. It was probably our low point. You know, we just got together after that game and tried to get a fresh approach. You know, it had been a long month. We had lost 10 games in a row, and a number of them were really close games. And we said, you know what, let's start fresh. We got 1 month left in the season. Change some of the things we were doing on the court. Change some of the ways we were practicing. And I tell you what, when you lose 10 games in a row, the guy who's the crankiest is Mr. Wildcat Dave Ennett. So, you know, I couldn't see him like that anymore. So I had to turn something around so we could get him back and getting back to his normal self again.
Your dad is one of my favorite people in sports. And, you know, my own kid playing sports growing up, just as a comparison. It's always tough when you want your kid to do really well and you're pulling for your kid and stuff's out of your control. And I would assume because your dad has succeeded at the level he succeeded, he's a bit of a control freak. One of the great things I've seen is your dad watching this game. He was watching the game last weekend. He's covering his face up. He gets up. He walks out. He comes back in. Did you get a chance to see any of that video?
I saw it afterwards. It was pretty funny, you know, but not surprising to me. You know, being a parent now, I guess you understand it more. You don't understand it as much maybe when I played and he was like that. You're like, come on, man, relax a little bit. But now that I'm a parent and I go to my own kids' games and you have that similar pit in your stomach, you just want him to do well. You care so much. And I think for him it's probably a double whammy because he knows so much about the game that, you know, when he's there, he can't just watch as a fan. He's got that coach mind going as well about
sure.
What's going on out there. Most importantly, what can go wrong? He's been a part of so many games. He knows even in the last 30 seconds of a game, it's never over until you see those zeros on the scoreboard.
You know, you mentioned the Michigan State game, Chris, and maybe a point at which your team kind of bottomed out this year. And as you look back, he had so many tough losses, so many close losses. Do you feel like maybe you kind of had to have a game like that to kind of hit bottom and then take it the other way?
Yeah, probably. You know, because as tough as it was for the close games, you know, I think our guys still felt pretty good because they knew we were right there to winning. And, you know, then we played Wisconsin who, you know, is beating everybody pretty badly. So they got us pretty good and then played Michigan State and they just really hammered us. And it was the first game that I saw where our guys kind of had their heads down. They looked defeated. There wasn't the fight. There wasn't the spirit. Looked like the group, a group that was on the edge of, you know, wanting this thing to be over. So my staff and I kind of got together. We knew something had to give. We had to change something. We kind of changed everything we were doing, the way we were practicing. We were, you know, did some different things on the floor with some new defense and some things offensively, and just to try to regain a fresh approach for the guys. And, you know, fortunately we came out against Iowa on Sunday and pulled out a great win. And it's like anything, once you feel what it tastes like to win, you want more. And we were able to ride that momentum into Minneapolis on Wednesday night and get another one. And hopefully we can keep it going on Saturday against Penn State.
Yeah, you got Penn State here tomorrow, and then you have Indiana here on Wednesday. Chris, I want to ask you about a story that started circulating yesterday, and it's about the Big Ten apparently gauging interest in making freshmen ineligible in football and men's basketball. And it would seem to have a bigger effect on basketball, where you don't redshirt freshmen all that often. And I know it's early in the morning to hit you with this, but is it something you have thought about at all?
Well, it's an interesting concept for sure. I mean, you know, the one thing, it is, as you said, it's a much more drastic change for our sport than it would be for football, because most of the guys in football redshirt anyway. But, you know, in basketball, it would be interesting the way that would be received. Do I think there would be a lot of positives in it? Absolutely. You know, it's such a huge transition from high school to this level, you know, with everything that you entail, not only just how hard it is on the floor, but just being at school, the workload, the academic load, everything. And certainly there can be a lot of merit into saying, you know, let's use a year to get that adjustment down and really get yourself ready to play. But it would be very interesting. You know, I haven't thought too much about it just because that isn't our landscape right now. So you always immerse yourself in what your landscape is. So, and really in basketball, there's so much these young players, they want opportunity right away. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But there's no question it is a huge adjustment, and there would be a lot of positives if something like that did come about.
There'll be a lot of talk about it, obviously. The one thing that will come up is the competitive disadvantage, because there'll be other conferences that won't do that.
Right, right. No, that would be very tough. In recruiting, that would be tough, you know,
right?
Because right now there's such an instant gratification in our sport. You know, it's all these young men, they want big roles as freshmen. So if you had one league doing it and a number of the other leagues not, I think that would be difficult.
Yeah, Kentucky only takes freshmen. I don't quite know how they'd handle it.
Maybe that would give us all a chance then.
Yeah, really.
Right.
Hey, before I let you go, you've been a head coach for a while now, and we're all fans. We know how strong the program's coming along and how good it's going to be. But what's one thing you've learned as a head coach that in all your years of basketball you didn't know until you became one?
Well, you know, I think you learn to be a little bit more controlled with your emotion. You know, you can't get too high on a big win. You can't get too low. You know, when times are tough, you got to steady the ship with your emotions. And I'm learning to have more patience. You know, that was never something that was a huge strong suit of mine. You know, just to be a little bit more patient in certain situations, especially with we've been a real young team this year. So trying to understand that as much as we want to win on Saturday and every game we prepare to win, you know, this is a longer term approach, and you gotta stay the course through the good and the bad.
So calm, like your dad.
Exactly. Just like him.
All right, Coach, all the best, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, great talking to you guys.
See ya.
See you tomorrow.
Coach Chris Collins, Coach_Collins, if you follow him on Twitter and Northwestern Basketball as well. And when's the next game?
Tomorrow afternoon. We'll have the pregame 1:45 tomorrow in Evanston against Penn State.
Go Cats.
Got another Stevie's coming up. Right after we do the traffic, Mary, I'm going to tell you what's in the swag bag at the Oscars.
Nice.
All right. Right now, why don't you tell us what's in the traffic?
And now, another edition of Hawktionary with Dave Evans.
Brendan Smith gave it away in front. Richards fires.
Today's entry.
What's up, Doc?
Bunny.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks.
Hawktionary. Learn more about the terms you don't completely understand that take place in the great game of hockey. Bugs Bunny currently not on the active Hawks roster.
No.
However, this Hawktionary is, again, sponsored by our friends at Freshwave. If you stink, they'll make you smell better.
Mm-hmm.
Get a Fresh Wave and stick it on something that stinks, even you. Fresh Wave available at many great retailers, your Bed Bath & Beyonds and Walgreens and places
also
like that.
The official deodorizer of Chicago Blackhawks.
And the official de-stinkifier of the Chicago Blackhawks. All right, Dave, today's word is bunny.
Bunny, this was your suggestion.
It was my suggestion.
Yeah, well, it's a term which is shared by both hockey and basketball. It's very similar to what you might call a gimme on the golf course, a little tap-in, right? Bunny, basically an easy shot, maybe point blank, on which there's really no resistance. Might be off a rebound by a sniper. Remember we did sniper earlier in Hawkshenary? It's hanging out near the net, but basically a bunny is one that you should not miss.
Oh, that's
the
a bunny.
Bottom line.
That's a bunny right there.
That's a bunny right there.
That's a bunny.
It's not exactly clear how the term originated in hockey and basketball. It's believed to be named for a former Harlem Globetrotter named Bunny Leavitt, who once made 499 consecutive free throws.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
At an event sponsored by a Chicago newspaper back in the mid-30s, the Sun-Times.
How annoyed was he to miss 500?
Yeah, I wonder. I never heard that he died a few years ago in his 90s, and I never heard the final story of how the streak ended.
Yeah.
499 in a row.
It's pretty good.
Yes, really good.
Yeah. And this is not Puck Bunny.
No. That's for a Hawkshenary on another day, another station, perhaps.
Yeah, that's the cable version of Hawkshenary?
Yeah, we're not, yeah.
Okay. Great job, Dave. How do I find my Hawkshenaries when I want to learn more?
Well, it's spelled, common spelling, Hawk and Shenary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go to WGNradio.com.
And just search Hawkshenary?
Just search Hawkshenary.
All right. And good luck to you and your bunny. It's 7:31. What are we doing? Going straight to the news? Going to take a break. We'll do your news next. The big story straight ahead on 720 WGN. It is time now for your big story, and Anna DeVlantis is here with that. I'll remind you, Anna, Marian Hossa coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Nice.
We also have still to come the best of Dave in the Stevie Awards and the best of Dean.
Oh.
As the Stevie Awards continue. Sneed writes in the Sun-Times this morning, what are the Stevies? So the reviews have been very, very strong.
That's strong. I mean, the fact that she's even paying attention to it by asking the question.
Well, I called and left her a message.
Oh. Well,
and don't forget, each Stevie Award winner gets a certificate with a picture of my head. And on the big forehead is the name of your award, and your name is under my chin. At least that's how we designed it earlier.
And awesome swag bags, as we just learned.
Unbelievable. What's in the big story?
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
It's my friend Al Roker, NBC, The Today Show, The Weather Channel, a show business mogul. Man, are you busy.
Well, you know, as my grandmother used to say, idle hands are the devil's workshop.
And she was right. Hey, listen, let's talk about Boston before we talk about this.
Sure.
What have the people of Boston done to anger God?
Well, look, you know, I think what we're looking at, and I think everybody's going to get their turn in the barrel.
Well, we did last year, you remember?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the consequence of climate change. And people will say, oh, what are you talking about? Well, here's the deal. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get colder weather or hotter weather. What it means is there are going to be more violent or more extreme swings of extreme weather and in places that they don't normally get these sort of things. So that's what happens. And look, what we're suffering through now, and the temperatures you guys are going to have over the next couple of days, when you average that out, when you look at what's going on, but yet we're the only places happening right now. The rest of the country just had the rest of the world, I should say, just had the warmest January on record.
Right.
So, you know.
So we have these sweeps of intensity and the storms that go with them.
Exactly.
So, well, look, no better time then to do what you have coming up. We'll get to biblical weather in a moment, but first, tell me about Coast Guard Alaska.
Hey, you know, look, it's our fourth season being in Kodiak, Alaska. These men and women risk their lives flying in the worst weather possible, jumping into 10, 20-foot seas to rescue people on floundering fishing vessels, on cargo ships. They do missions of mercy, getting sick kids from villages, remote Alaskan villages, to hospitals. It really is amazing the depth and scope they do day in and day out. And what I love about this series is all of this stuff would happen whether our cameras are there or not. We don't juice
sure.
any of it.
Right, right.
Say, oh, can you do this again? Can you be angry?
This is not the Real Housewives, kids.
No, this is real life. This is real life and death. I mean, we've had, unfortunately, people pass on this show. And we try to, you know, be as respectful as possible. But it is a way of life in Alaska. And so I'm really proud of this series. And I think the men and women of the Coast Guard are one of the most underrated branches of our armed services and Homeland Security. So we're really proud to bring this, the Weather Channel and myself, we're really just proud to present this show.
And again, the new season starts Monday night at 8 o'clock Chicago time. For people that have ever said, oh, this weather, it's like biblical proportions weather. Guess what? There's a show, Weather of Biblical Proportions, premieres Sunday night, March 15th at 8 o'clock Chicago time. That, of course, is a day after Steve Cochran's birthday. Write it down. Don't be the last to buy something. And biblical weather, I mean, we're not kidding.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it literally, and Steve, you put your finger right on it. I literally, after it was last year, and somebody said, oh, my gosh, this is Weather of Biblical Proportions, and I went, and I literally, a little light bulb went off, and I thought, you know what? There's a lot of weather in the Bible, and you start researching it.
Absolutely.
And the stories we know, the stories we don't. And I thought, I bet there are scientific explanations for what happened. And sure enough, you go through it, and that doesn't take away from the story. In fact, I think it adds to it because you know, these folks back then had no idea of what they were witnessing. To them, it was a miracle. It doesn't make it any less real or any less you know, meaningful to these folks. It is weather of biblical proportions, and I love this this show. I really do.
I think anytime you can combine science with faith, and you can; those are not separate things.
Yes,
you combine science with faith, you got to win, and it increases interest on both sides. So I salute you for doing it.
Well, thank you. Listen, you know, a lot of people say, how can you do this? You're messing with the Bible.
No, it's not the case.
You know, and I think people like yourself, rational faith, look at this, and I find it just very fascinating.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm in church every Sunday, and every Sunday when I leave church, I don't go, show me no science. No, yeah. I want to understand the world better. It's a combination of things.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Weather of Biblical Proportions, Sunday, March 15th at 8 o'clock, but first and foremost, Coast Guard Alaska, the new season, Monday night at 8 with the great Al Roker. Always a pleasure, my friend. Stay healthy.
You too. Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy. I'll see you later.
All righty, Steve.
Steve Cochran Show continues live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on 720 WGN. Let's go to Kev now, live at Wingfest, where yes. He is covered in barbecue sauce. Wingfest hasn't even started yet. Kev, what are you seeing?
You know, normal tailgating, people camping out days ahead of one of the greatest days of the year, and just munching on wings and enjoying ourselves.
Let's be honest, this show is nothing if not self-serving for the people on it whenever we can be, and Kev wanted tickets to Wingfest, so I was more than happy to plug Wingfest and get Kev free tickets. So, Kev, when is Wingfest?
Wingfest is this Sunday, February 22nd, from 1 to 5 at Bailey Auditorium, which is at 1340 West Washington.
Can I get in?
Absolutely.
No, it's sold out. I can't get in.
You're Steve Cochran. You can get in.
Well, I can get in anywhere, but it is sold out.
It is sold out. But
wait, Dave is now live at Wingfest with you.
Well, I'd like to ask Kevin a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Should there be, you know how we have the combine going right now in football? Should there be a combine for those attending Wingfest?
You know, like you have to be able to eat a certain amount of pounds of wings.
Yeah, like what are your measurables? What are your measurables?
You know, that's not a bad call, Dave, because it does get a little packed in there, and there's some people you can clearly see are not big wing advocates. They're way too healthy looking. I'm like, this person does not love chicken wings like the rest of us. So that may be a good way to weed out some of the bad ones.
What's the most creative way you've seen for people who can't get up to the wing samples to collect the wings?
Yes, it gets very crowded. So I've seen people take fishing nets and line it with a plastic bag. That way, it's about 3 feet long. You can reach over the crowd by each little wing stand.
And they throw the wings in the net.
And they just dump the wings in there, and we bring it back. And
it's like eating out of a garbage bag.
It is, and it works.
Yeah.
And it works.
What would you say your average consumption of wings is at Wingfest?
Jeez.
I mean, number of wings.
I'm going to guess it starts to get a little blurry around 30 or 40.
So I'm saying maybe I topped out at 50.
You think you 60? Hit 50?
We'll see. I'm going to try to keep a count this year and see what I can hit.
Well, you've lost weight lately, so my concern for you is that your stomach has shrunk.
That is a little, I think I'm going to get some barbecue Saturday, so that should stretch it out a little bit. It's going to be a great weekend of feasting, so it should be in good shape for Sunday.
But you would say stretch when it comes to overeating.
Yeah, maybe just chug a gallon of water or something, and it'll stretch it out a little bit.
Okay. Do we have Wingfest tickets to give away?
We do. We're going to do it via Twitter again. If you go to @CochranShow on Twitter, retweet and be following by noon today for a chance to win a pair of tickets to this Sunday's Wingfest.
You want to explain to folks how retweet and follow works?
Yeah. So if you go to Twitter.com or on your Twitter app, if you go into the search key and type in Cochran Show, that'll take you to your Twitter account. We're going to put a tweet up in just a minute here. And once you see that tweet, it'll give you instructions. It'll say retweet this tweet. So you just got to hit the little retweet button. It's like a little square arrow box. Just click that and make sure you hit follow. And that will make you eligible for the tickets.
Hit the square arrow box and hit follow. Retweet and follow.
Yep.
All right.
Got it.
It's 7:53. Steve Cochran Show continues with another Stevie Award next. It's the Best of Dave Ennett next on 720 WGN. Just terrific reviews for this week's Stevie Awards. Bill Zwecker writes, Steve, I worked with you years ago, and it's amazing to see after all this time you've done nothing with your career. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Let's go to our next Stevie Award, Anna. The category is, you can put it in your own words, but really it's the Best of Dave.
Best Dave moment?
Go Cats.
Yeah. But do it as the announcer for the Stevies might do it.
Okay. And the nominees for the Best Dave moment on the Steve Cochran Show are Little Red Riding Hood.
All right, Dave. Now, please give us a serious, professional sportscast dressed as Little Red Riding Hood.
Sports is sponsored this morning by the Big Bad Wolf. Coach Q coming up. The Bears back to work today, getting ready for the Packers. I am...
Say it. Come on. It's
I am Little Red Riding Hood, WGN Sports.
Woo, that's a win.
It's one of your proudest moments.
Yeah, but okay, that did not occur during 2014.
That's all right.
That was like 2 years ago already.
This is the Best of Dave. We had to go back almost 2 years to find three good moments for you.
So are they going to give an Oscar to Gone with the Wind on Sunday?
They could. They absolutely could. Next.
The next nominee for Best Dave Moment is NHL Playoffs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Now, Dave explained the new playoff system yesterday to me. Dave, how does this work now?
Well, again, it's now divisional play. So the first place team plays the fourth place or plays the second.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
No. The second place team in the division plays the third place team. So the Blackhawks.
So first place fourth, second place third?
Now, I believe the
it goes on for like 5 minutes.
And it got better and better.
And finally,
proud moment.
And finally, the final nominee for Best Dave Moment is Kale.
Hey, Linz, let me ask you a question. Did you ask your dad if he would judge?
I think he's waiting for Kale Fest.
Oh!
Yeah.
Ouch.
Your own daughter dumping
yes.
on you.
Good Lindsay moment.
Nice. And the winner is Kale Fest. Congratulations. Oh, that's an upset. A lot of people thought it would be NHL playoffs.
Or Red Riding Hood.
But I thought Lindsay's performance was so great that she deserved the Stevie Award.
So she gets the Stevie. I don't even get it?
No, you don't get it.
She gets the Stevie swag.
She's ultimate indignity.
Dave has to make the speech, though.
Yes. Do you have anything you want to say to accept for the little people?
I'd like to thank all the little people who helped bring me to this.
Play them off.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Play them off. Play them off. Hit the music. Play them off. It's coming up. Yeah, sorry, Dave. We're out of time. Tough break for you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than one night show.
Dean Richards, sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. And, of course, the whole hour, sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Dean. Good morning, Dean.
He's still making his Oscar predictions, maybe.
Good morning, Dean.
Or maybe... Or did he know he was going to be a Stevie recipient? Maybe he got nervous.
What do you guys want to do now?
I think we should talk about him.
Yeah, let's say bad things about Dean until he gets on the phone.
Yeah. God, that Dean.
Yeah. He's just, you know.
He's so Dean.
Stuff he says sometimes.
If you want to hear a podcast of this, you could go to TuneIn.
Yeah, nothing, obviously.
You know iHeart. You could also go to WGNRadio.com or the WGN Radio app, and you could podcast us not connecting with Dean at Channel 9 this morning.
You know what this segment sounds like? Mayor Emanuel accepting his Stevie speech.
It's very true.
This will be on next year's Stevie's, probably.
Like, best moment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, ask the mayor how he feels about winning all. He won a ton of awards. He's
Mayor Emanuel, how do you feel about 4 Stevie Awards? You're right. It is the same thing.
And he would say, I won them for the children.
Very, very similar.
How many did he win? 4?
4. 4
He's
Stevie
like the,
Awards.
The Sam Smith of the Stevies.
It's unbelievable. Still scheduled to appear this hour is Dean Richards. Dean Richards from Channel 9 and also Marian Hossa, Ro Khan, Bill and Wendy at 9 o'clock as well. And we will connect with Dean sooner than later. And you have?
Yeah, find stories that take you further with the new ChicagoTribune.com. Digitally remastered to fit your device and digitally remastered to fit your life.
I also want to remind you that for someone who works as hard as you do, you deserve a little Genucel. Because at the end of the day, you could have a little puffiness underneath your eyes, bags underneath your eyes. And the thing you don't need is to worry about it. Because you should be as simple as taking a tube of Genucel with a plant stem cell technology, squeezing a little bit on your finger, dabbing it under your eyes, rubbing it around your eyes. Just dab. And you're going to look fantastic. Works in 12 hours, guaranteed. If you have any issues at all, you can get your money back. I always say, look, just because it works for me, just because it works for the people on the show, well, you know, you should try it for yourself. So you need to call Genucel and say, hey, Steve said I should call Genucel. And when you call Genucel, you'll see that it'll work for you as well. So you need to get your Genucel. 800-933-5196, 800-933-5196. Call now. Express shipping is also free. 800-933-5196 for Genucel. Dean Richards standing by at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Hello there.
How are you?
Did you play my little music already and I wasn't there?
Yeah, it turns out the same white guys love you. So, yeah, we're here.
I was very busy. I wasn't paying attention.
We have a Stevie Award coming up for you. We're thinking about rescinding it.
This could be it.
All right, now, let's go right to the news of the day, the thing that everybody's talking about going into this show business weekend. Please tell us, we're all on the edge of our seats. How is Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Oh, let me see. You know, I don't want to get too technical, you know, using filmology, film history, you know, jargon, things like that. But I believe the word that best applies is sucks.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2 sucks. Boy, I tell you, you can knock me over with a feather. I did not see that coming.
I kind of liked the first movie. It was kind of a surprise hit. A little bit, you know, amusing. A little bit on the original side. This one is minus John Cusack. And this one is pretty much minus the comedy.
How about Meryl Streep? Is she in it?
Meryl Streep.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Did not make a cameo in this. Oddly, Craig Robinson, I felt like this film had been filmed over 12 years. I felt like I was sitting in the theater for 12 years while I was watching this to go with the Boyhood theme. But, yeah, it's pretty it is really, really painful.
All right.
Really painful. So,
speaking of painful, America's long national nightmare is over. 2 and a Half Men has finally wrapped production.
Did you watch the finale last night? I got to say, I kind of enjoyed it a
little
bit. I haven't watched the show in a really long time. I kind of lost interest, I think, as a lot of people have if you follow the ratings with it. But it was a wink and a nod to the audience. It was they're constantly breaking the fourth wall, which I always enjoy on a show, where they're doing things and saying things that are comments on the show. The whole theme of the show is the Charlie Sheen character still alive or not? They said they killed him off 4 years ago, but they implied on this show, more than implied, that he may not be dead. I don't want to give away too much for people who haven't watched it yet, but that was the theme. They do something with the Charlie Sheen character at the end of the episode, and then something happens to the creator of the show, Chuck Lorre, also that kind of speaks to the big feud and the lawsuits and the firing and all the behind-the-scenes drama that wasn't so behind-the-scenes that took place. I thought it was funny. I thought they did an okay job. It's not one of the great finales of all time, but it was pleasant enough.
All right, we've gone through the major Oscar predictions of the week, but you have yet to name your best picture. So, whom wins? Whom wins? Who wins? What wins? Is your best picture?
Hang on, I got to write an email to you about your grammar, because we don't get enough of those already, all of us. We ain't get enough of those already. I'm picking Birdman, which was not one of my favorite movies of the year by any stretch, but... Man, does it ever have the mojo going into this weekend. It won the Directors Guild. It won the Producers Guild. It won the Screen Actors Guild. These are all industry votes. These are all the people who are going to be voting, the people that comprise the 6,000 people who vote for Academy Awards. So that seems to have all the mojo right now. That said, Boyhood won all the Critics Awards, won all the early awards. It won the Golden Globe for Best Drama of the Year. So I think it's down to those two. The Academy Awards has a kind of a complex voting system. It's not, a lot of people have said, well, what if Birdman and Boyhood kind of separate the vote? If those are the two favorites right now and they, kind of negate each other and something else winds up sneaking in, the voting process for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences doesn't work that way. It's a really complex voting process. So it's very unlikely that something like that would happen. A lot of people have said, that the scenario could take place that American Sniper could wind up winning Best Picture of the Year. I don't think that's going to happen, even though by far that is the box office winner of all eight of the nominees for Best Picture. American Sniper has done probably 10 times the business of its nearest competitor. So I think you look for Birdman to win Best Picture. I think you look for Michael Keaton to win Best Actor, although Eddie Redmayne is another one that's one I think really too close to call. Anything could happen this year. Julianne Moore is a lock. J.K. Simmons is a lock. Patricia Arquette is a lock for the supporting roles. So we'll see what happens. I cannot think of a year where it's been more difficult to figure out who the winners are going to be. Everything is just that close this year.
All right, we will come back with a coveted Stevie Award for Dean in just a moment. Stand by for that on 720 WGN. First, it's Traffic Trouble Spots. The reviews continue to roll in today for the Stevie Awards, Dean. I've mentioned several of them earlier.
I'm wearing Oscar De La Renta, in case you wanted to ask.
I was going to ask, who are you wearing? Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. I am actually wearing Oscar De La Renta, though.
You are?
The person.
I actually, at this point, have gone with my designer, Doc Harris. It's Spanish. Yes. This one touches me, as many did. Earlier this morning, Cup wrote, "I'm dead, leave me alone."
What?
Yeah, that was one of the reviews that came in.
Wow.
Rex Reed writes, "Steve, you're a grown man. Do you really have to dress like that?" So these are the reviews that continue to come in.
You don't hear from Cup that often.
No, you really don't. I don't know if you heard, but Mike Royko wrote, "If I was there, I'd punch you right in the face."
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what he would say.
All right. So this is very exciting. This is the Best of Dean Stevie Award. Let's go to Anna for the nominees.
And the nominees for the Best Dean Moment on the Steve Cochran Show are Greek happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Dean, and we get that because that's the Greek version of happy birthday.
On behalf of all the Greek in Chicago. Happy birthday
thank
to
you,
you.
Dee Dee.
It was, well, they sing it in English, but with a heavy Greek
very
accent.
Very Greek, yeah.
Happy birthday.
What a scam you people are running.
It's Greek.
It's not Greek.
It's Greek.
It's not Greek. It's English with phlegm.
I'm telling you, you go to any Greek restaurant, that's what you're going to be hearing around the tables when they come out.
You're going to get sued by people who speak Yiddish. It's just happy birthday to you. Yes.
Hater. Hater's going to hate.
Right. Hate.
Speaking of.
The next nominee for Best Dean Moment on the Steve Cochran Show is, in fact, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift got hacked?
Somebody busted into her...
Haters gonna hate.
Keep going. I want to see if you know more than that one line.
That's it.
I figured that might be it.
Player's gonna play. Oh.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up. Shake it up.
Player's gonna hate. Haters gonna play.
Shake it up. Shake it up. I like that it's actually shake it off, right?
Right.
There's nothing like a couple of guys who are well over 50 doing a Taylor Swift
singing
song.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
That's beautiful. And the third nominee.
The third nominee in the Best Dean Moment category is Wedgie.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9, working off the lunges. The women on the Channel 9 Morning News don't look like they're dressed for lunging.
That's what made it all the more challenging. Anybody can lunge when you're in workout clothes. Try doing it in high heels, which I got to tell you.
No, I was talking about the women.
I had a beautiful open-toe wedgie with a 2-inch heel. Wedgie, is that what they're called?
Wedgie.
No, wedgie.
Just a wedge.
Yeah,
wedge.
It's a wedge.
Not a wedgie.
Wedgie. Something completely different.
An open-toed wedgie is when your roommate in college surprises you on a Saturday morning.
And the winner is, Dean, the winner is...
We're funny, man.
The winner for Best Dean Moment is... Happy birthday to you!
Aww.
I don't know if you heard... Oh, I forgot to open the envelope.
Thank goodness.
How big is that envelope?
That was the winner.
What the kind of envelope?
He opens all four sides.
That's like an envelope the size of a lottery check.
Yes, it did turn out the winner was Happy Birthday to you.
Happy Birthday.
That's lovely.
Congratulations.
I have no speech prepared.
Do you want to thank the little people?
Yeah, sure.
Play them off. Play them off.
I'd like to thank the
son of a time. You've been listening to the coveted Stevie Awards featuring the great Dean Richards.
Don't feel bad, Dean. It happens to all of us.
That's funny.
Former Dead Critics also featured.
You make me laugh.
I want to thank you to...
You're laughable, Steve.
Thank you. And you point. And thank you, Anna DeVlantis, for all the great announcing that was
just heard from
today.
Army Archer. He said you're laughable. Have we brought up every 1940s entertainment person yet?
Chris Jones writes, I'm sorry, who's this? Yes, the reviews continue to come in for the Stevie Awards. Dean, you're going to receive the coveted Stevie Award, which is a... piece of paper, a certificate, if you will. It's a picture of my forehead with the title of your award on my forehead and your name underneath my chin.
Like I don't already have that tattooed on a part of my body.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for being a part of the Stevie Awards, Dean.
See you Monday with Oscar Highlights.
Oscar Highlights on Monday. And we're back after this on 720 WGN.
Line down the left wing, Hossa sharp angle, set, he scores! Marion Hossa! Six in three games! He's got the hottest stick in the NHL!
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk. Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yeah, da 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 da. MB Financial Bank. MB does mean business. We'll get a question from Dorothy Wallace coming up here in just a little bit. Actually, it's from Danny Wallace. Dorothy sent the question in for Danny. Danny's 12 years old. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Danny actually has one question and two follow-ups. So Here again is the hottest stick in hockey. It's Marian Hossa. Morning, Hoss. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Thanks for being on. I know you're trying to get your kids to school and all that. I appreciate you making the time.
Yeah, no problem at all.
So what is it? Is it? Are you eating something? Are you wearing lucky underpants? What is this 7 goals, 2 assists thing?
I think both those things, you know, I try to do. Now, you know what? Nothing really, you know, that special. Obviously, I just feel, you know, I feel on the roll, and I feel pretty good skating wise. And I just try to write those things, and you know, so far it's working. And you know, I'm just glad I can contribute offensively.
To be an elite athlete, as you've been for so long, we always talk about guys who are in the zone, and basketball players talk about the hoop gets bigger. Baseball players talk about how the ball gets bigger, the ball slows down. What is it like in hockey when you're in the zone? Do things slow down? Because it's the fastest game in sports.
You're right. It could, you know, seems that way. I think when you got confidence and things going your way, all of a sudden you just feel like you got more time on the ice, and you find always yourself in the right spot, and you don't panic. So obviously, you know, that's what is confidence, and you know, when you have it, you want to keep it long as possible.
I was looking at some statistics for you. You're 36 now, right?
Yes.
36 years old. You have been a professional hockey player as long as you've been alive prior to that. Half your lifetime in the pros. Is that hard to believe?
Yeah, it's pretty tough to believe. I'm pretty, you know, fortunate, you know, to be still healthy and still playing this great game.
Well, we're lucky to have you here.
When you had the 3 straight multi-goal games, I heard that you said to Troy Murray that it was the first time you had done that since you played for the Portland Winterhawks. Is that true?
Well, tell you the truth, I don't remember. I was just joking, but most likely that's true also.
Wow.
The Portland Winterhawks. I've got to get some swag from the Portland Winterhawks. Now, I got a question for you, Marian Hossa. You know, Brian Bickle's a friend of the show, and Bick has been on many times. And Bick takes a lot of heat for his lame goal celebration. You know, he barely has a fist pump. I got to say, for a guy that scored as many goals as you have, you don't exactly go nuts either. What's the deal?
Well, I got excited once in a while, but I don't know. It's all make you feel nice inside, and some guys show it more emotions than the other. And I guess, you know, me and Bixie, a lot of those guys, we don't show as much emotion when we score, but we definitely, inside, we are really happy and pumped.
Who's the biggest show-off on the team?
Biggest show off after score goal?
Yeah.
I think shows you love to celebrate hard, and, you know, just fun to see those young kids, you know, when they score or jump on a glass or, you know, do some funny things, and it just give your team energy.
Anybody ever give you a tip on a goal celebration that you considered?
Well, we always had a earlier in the season contest, you know, let's see the best celly after the goals being scored. So, you know, once in a while we have a big celebration in the games, and, you know, then the guys joking around, and we're having fun about it in dressing room.
Yeah, I tried to get Bickle to do this. He wouldn't do it. I said, drop down and make a snow angel.
Yeah, there is some celebration that you don't want to do.
Once again, another member of the Blackhawks who thinks my ideas aren't great. David.
What's your early take on what you've seen from Ryan Hartman his first few games?
Well, I think he made the impact right away, the first shift. I think that was unbelievable. I don't think I ever see, you know, somebody in a first shift to make a big hit like he did. And, you know, people love that in Chicago. And I think, you know, he just proved he can be that young power forward in the league. He can take a body and be physical. And, you know, we don't have many of those guys in the front for our team. And, you know, I think we can use a guy like that.
And there's young guys on this team coming up. What do they call you? Are you sir? Or how do they refer to you?
I'll tell you the truth. I think I'm just a regular Hoss, and you know, that's how they call me.
You know, Coach Q's on this show every week, and we love Q. And you've played for a bunch of coaches in the league, because obviously Marian Hoss has trouble keeping a job.
But where would you rank Coach Q in the pantheon of coaches that you've played with or for?
Well, I was pretty lucky to have a great coaches, but I think Q is right on top because, you know, he's the type of coach. He played such a long time in National Hockey League, and he understands how the players feel in a certain situation. And no many coaches are like that. And so he knows how players feel, and, you know, he's type of players coach. So, you know, he gives us days off to recharge, and, you know, he's really reasonable. But also, you know, he can be hard on players, you know, when they needed to be. And I think he got the perfect balance, and, you know, players love to play for him.
Does he ever let it rip in the locker room? Does he ever just go nuts?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I think he's very reasonable. You know, when there is a time he need to be that guy, I think he is. And there wasn't too many times of those I see him to do that.
Now, the accent is still thick, Dave, but I think what Marian Hossa just said is Coach Q beats up players.
I don't think he said exactly that.
I think
that.
He said he punched out Jonathan Toews. That's what I heard. He punched out Jonathan Toews. Kidding, of course. One more from David Ennett. We'll let you fly here in a second.
I just wonder if now you've got Colorado coming in tonight. You've had all these overtime games, these shootouts, three of them on this homestand so far. You guys are chasing Nashville and St. Louis. How much do you keep an eye on the standings and what those teams ahead of you are doing?
Well, we definitely keep an eye, and especially we try to finish the best in our division because that was a key before the season. And you see our division is so tight and I think so strong, and you just hesitate one or two games, so you lose your position. So there's still plenty of game left, and we still can, you know, finish on top on our division, and that's still our goal.
There's a young man who has questions for you for an autographed Marian Hossa puck, but I actually was wondering, is there a routine you go through before a game? I'm told you're pretty ritualistic. You like your routine before a game. Do you eat something, you know, each day before a game, like a lucky meal?
No, not really. I like to change it up, and I'm not superstitious on the meals, and you know, especially when I'm home, my wife cooks different type of meals. Not really. I eat anything, and I'm pretty easy that way.
What's your favorite Chicago food?
My favorite Chicago food? Oh, my God, there's so many great places in this town. And, you know, every time you can eat somewhere else. And, you know, me and my wife, we love sushi, so we go to good sushi places, but also like Italian and steakhouses. So you just name it. There's so many great choices.
How about you, Topenchi?
I'm sorry.
I did some research before. What's utopenci? U-T-O-P-E-N-C-I. I was told it's a Slovak food.
Utopenci.
Utopenci.
Oh, utopenci. Okay, I haven't heard that one for a while. Yeah, that's old style food, you know, and I can't even explain in English, but, you know, I think my grandpa loved it.
How about Koleno? K-O-L-E-N-O.
Koleno?
Yeah,
that's really good.
Supposedly a giant hunk of roast pork knee.
Yeah, exactly. People love that back home, you know, with the bread and the mustard.
Ah, there you go. Well, Koleno and utopenci to you, my friend.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, you know, those things.
I do my homework, bud. Danny Wallace is 12 years old. Here are his questions for Marian Hossa. Number one, did anything special lead to the current scoring streak? We kind of covered that. You just feel like you're in a good groove, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I switch, you know, a piece of equipment, but nothing else really. You know, I tried to be myself, and all of a sudden the puck went in, and you know, all of a sudden I felt better wise in my confidence. I was in the zone, and I tried to, you know, be in the right place at the right time, and, you know, those things happen.
How did you become so skilled at stick handling, Danny wants to know. He also is a hockey player.
Well, I think certain things you were born with, and certain things you have to keep working on, and I think the combination of two, I was lucky, you know, I had some skills when I was born, and I also, you know, I tried to always improve when I was younger and still in this age. So those combinations.
So no shortcuts, repetition and practice.
Exactly.
And finally, who is the best Slovak player in the NHL?
Well, you know, we always in Slovakia, I think of Stan Mikita, you know, because he was born in Slovakia. Even he came to America when he was 5 or 6 years old. and you know, he's in our hearts, always number one. And then you know, there was Peter Stastny and Peter Bondra, I think.
And how about guys who are playing now?
Right now, well, we don't have as many Slovak players in National Hockey League than we used to. So there is you know, a couple of young guys in, like in Detroit that play last game. Tomáš Tatar, he's having a really good season, and Gaborik and Chara, you know, so those guys.
Yeah, I'd go with Hossa.
Yeah, I'd go Marian.
Yeah, I'd go Hossa. Yeah. I think Hossa's the guy.
Appreciate it.
Oh, it's great talking to you, man. I appreciate it. Let's do it again.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks. Marian Hossa, who, by the way, is another one of these guys, and all the Hawks do this, but does so much community stuff.
Yep.
And never looks for anything, you know, in exchange for it. He was talking about Shaw. If you guys like the Bickle one goal video, there's a video out now with Shaw and Taves that just broke yesterday that you got to see. And you can see it on the Hawks social media pages, and I'm pretty sure it's on the Blackhawks.com page now, too.
By the way, the clue, the hint, Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies, Taves, and Shaw.
And Taves ironing.
And Taves ironing and doing a poor job of it. Sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks and MB Financial Bank. The show continues with Traffic Trouble Sponsor Mary. There's one bonus Stevie Award. Actually, we had a leftover. Rokan, you're a big winner. You've won a Stevie.
I just want to thank the Academy.
Play him off. Play him off. Play him off.
I just want to thank my agent.
Oh,
my manager.
We are out of time. Oh, that's a shame.
What did he win for?
Oh, he won for best row. Oh,
okay, right.
Yeah, best row. Congratulations. Congratulations on that best
thank
row
you.
Award.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. It was a very short category.
So yesterday I'm listening to the Rokan show, and I heard you have on an elected official talking about the Jackie Robinson West situation.
Yes.
And that elected official was?
Monique Davis, state representative.
Could I just throw this in?
Yeah.
If this was some sort of racist conspiracy, how did the little Korean kids win the whole thing?
Well, the theory here, this is Chicago, baby, right? I mean, there's just no two ways around how this works in this town, which is that everybody is a victim in this town. I don't, if you are a hedge fund manager, a white, rich hedge fund manager who becomes governor, it's still a racist conspiracy to bring down the white guy. It's like everybody's got an angle in this town. And unfortunately, I think in this case, you know, these kids have gotten caught in the vice grip of now power play politics.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the kids' fault. I just think when you start calling racism where there isn't racism, then where there is racism becomes less believable.
Oh, no question about it. And what Representative Davis is doing is basically saying, and I think a lot of the people who've come out and, you know, jumped out on this, you know, they're all arguing, well, they didn't do anything wrong. These kids played great, and they should have won this thing. And they did play great, and I wish they did win this thing fair and square. But unfortunately, the reality is this. Our emotions had to be taken away from the rules. And the rules are that the rules were broken by the adults in at least one adult, probably multiple adults, and maybe some parents knew, maybe they didn't. I don't know. But the thing is that they did build an all-star team, which is unfair to those other teams that were playing by the rules of the restricted areas. And this isn't just about, oh, we're taking this away from these poor kids because of their color. They're punishing the parents, and the kids are getting swept up in it. And I feel terribly. I feel really, really bad, especially one of those kids, one of the bright spot, like, little stars of that team was the son of the manager, of the coach, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And so, you know, and it's just it's such a tough deal, but you can't. But grandstanding politicians who are going to go, hey, they're all out to get us. I mean, that's as old as Chicago, right?
No doubt about it. Now I know you're going to be boozing it up this afternoon. What else do you have on the show?
Oh, but that's such an ugly way to say it.
Oh, no. I'm saluting.
Richard Roper will be with us.
Oh, speaking of booze. To discuss, oh, that lush.
To discuss. He's actually more of a beer totaler. He's going to be here to discuss the Oscars, of course, and who's going to win and who's going to lose. And, you know, he's one of those guys who, you know, thinks he does that kind of, it's like all the critics do. Dean does this too. You know, they take on the critic kind of thing. And, you know, they're always in that, oh, you can't beat me. I've seen all these movies. Well, you know, I don't have to see all the movies to know who's going to win. I have my own instincts about this, and I've seen the commercials.
Oh, well, listen this afternoon when Rokan and Richard Roper have a fist fight. It starts at 3 this afternoon. Bill and Wendy next. Stand by. Bill and Wendy are here. Did you guys attend the Pete McMurray party last night?
What party?
That's what I thought, too. I didn't get invited.
What party?
It was Pete's last show last night. Apparently, had a big shindig.
He's too young to retire.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
He's just out of show business, then?
No, he's in jail.
Oh, he
finally caught
him.
Yeah, they finally caught him.
He's a thug.
He's going to have a lot of boyfriends. He's a handsome man.
Oh,
hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy, you dropped something.
That's why you get soap on a rope, I'm telling you.
Hey, you guys probably heard, I don't have time to do this story, but you guys probably heard the Pope's coming to America soon?
The Pope? Pope Francis is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The coolest Pope ever.
Best Pope of all time.
Top Pope. Red Robin, the hamburger joint, they're offering free Lenten crab cakes if the Pope comes to a Red Robin.
That's right. And he might. You don't know.
Yeah.
Is there a Red Robin in Rome? Because would it count if he went to one there?
What do you mean, the Vatican City? Red Robin, little halo above it. That's no good. What are you doing today?
What aren't we doing?
All right, cool. That's coming up with Bill and Wendy. Do you have something, Bill?
Handsome comedian Mike Siegel will be with us. Sexy scientist. We will have a sexy scientist. Lucianne Wolkowitz will be with us. It's good-looking guest day, Steve.
How do you know the scientist is sexy?
We've had her on before.
And she's made a list of what? The nation's 50 sexiest scientists?
Somebody put together a list. She was number 13, which we went through the whole list yesterday. Show research.
Hold on a second. She did a list of the sexiest
scientists?
She
didn't. She
was named
on it.
To the list.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
She's
and
gorgeous.
She was number 13. But
what type of science does she practice? The science of sex?
Doesn't matter.
She's from the Adler Planetarium.
Yeah.
Oh, we like her.
Yeah.
I've heard her with you guys before.
Yeah.
She's fantastic. Yeah. And I mean, you know, girls, study hard because you can be smart and sexy.
Yeah. Well, please.
You are living proof of that, Steve Cochran.
Talking to me.
Yep.
My God. Obviously.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Andrea,
You're welcome.
Back Monday, right?
We are.
We're back on Monday and before Andrea leaves for international vacation in Sarasota. Is it Sarasota? Where are you going?
I'm going to Fort Myers and Tampa.
Oh, good. Good. I hope your passport's up to date.
I really didn't want to go. I was going to miss you guys. Yeah. The thought of warmer temperatures just, wow.
Yeah. We're all going with you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for supporting the Stevies. Next year, even bigger. Now it's time for the Bill and Wendy Show.